7 keyboards in our house. And the mom of that is,
oh.
Well, we have this big grand, and this is a harpsichord. Down on the next level, we have 2 pianos, one of which my wife played when she was very, very young. In high school. And another good quality piano. Then downstairs, we have an organ.
Oh, dear.
It has 2 keyboards on it. Anyway. Then we have an electronic keyboard. So the motto of that is, happiness is keeping your wife happy.
We've got Tracy and Ida Rose left the piano over there in their home. And somehow my wife picked it out. But it's so heavy. I just don't know how we're going to get it out of there and put it in our home. But we need a piano, so we're happy to have it.
Well, now, what's your association with Tracy?
Oh, okay. I married one of his granddaughters.
Oh, which one?
One of David's daughters. David's youngest. Her name is Barbara. Barbara. And so I married into the family, and I also run this business. It's called Legacy Books. And so David's hired us to stay in the family and put a book together on...
I'm not hearing you very well.
So David hired me, his son-in-law, to put together a book about Tracy.
Oh, okay, so David's...
Yeah.
I used to home teach with David.
Oh, did you?
When he was a teenager. For a couple of years,
Oh, that's fun. Did you guys get Ida Rose's book?
Yes, we have a copy of that.
You have a copy? Okay.
They had, at the viewing, they had quite a few that are on. David says, why don't you take one? I'd like one to take one.
Good.
And
I
have that.
I was going to get
I admit I haven't read a lot, but I skimmed through it.
Well,
just looked at a few things here and there.
And that's fine. That's the type of thing we're doing now for Tracy.
Uh-huh.
Except his is going to cover, it's going to be just a little bigger because it covers his professional life.
Professional things.
And so, anyways, that's why I'm here today.
Okay.
David told me that you knew Tracy pretty well. I know you worked with him. And then you also were the bishop right after him.
My professional interaction with Tracy was quite interesting. I went to a seminar he gave. I'd only been on come on the faculty in the physics department. He, of course, was in chemistry. But and just within about the first year I came here, I attended a seminar in the physics department that Tracy was talking and talked about high pressure work. And after attending that seminar, I got thinking that one of the things they needed to know was the crystal structure of materials at high pressures. I mean, they didn't know anything about materials. I had done some work previously in X-ray diffraction, determines the crystal structure. And I thought I knew a way that in his high pressure tetrahedral press, we could send an X-ray beam in and determine the crystal structure of materials over there.
Do you remember what?
So I went over and went over to Tracy's office, talked to him about it.
Do you remember what year this was? Or a
I would expect it was 59 or 60.
Okay, great. Okay. So you
I came in 58. I came in to to the university in September of 58. And so I expect it was in 60.
Okay.
And anyway, after I talked to Tracy, he said, "Oh, I think we can get a good grant. We can get money to do that research, develop that technique. So if you want to write it up and see what you can do." So I made up a few tests and made a few drawings and things of how we could do it. Effectively wrote on Tracy's name, because everybody was trying to give Tracy money because of the diamond that he had made diamonds. And so he had lots of contacts. So he talked to the U.S. Army research, I can't remember the official name. It was an Army research branch.
Yes, I read it.
They encouraged us to write a proposal. So I did most of the legwork, and we submitted a proposal. It was granted $105,000 for the research.
I've seen that document.
And it worked out quite well. We were the first people in the nation to do high pressure X-ray diffraction studies. And Tracy and I talked about a lot of things, and he designed all the apparatus. I had the major idea, but all the detailed design of the pressure apparatus and the X-ray diffraction apparatus, which is a unique attachment to it. That was my contribution. Tracy was tremendous at mechanical design. This, of course, was his. He was a chemist, but he was really had amazing ingenuity, creativity, and mechanical design, although he was a chemist.
Okay.
Anyway, he made all the drawings. We talked about things, but he actually did mechanical design of the press and the X-ray diffraction apparatus. And we started making measurements. Discovered several new kind of interesting phenomena that took place at high pressure that were unique. We were on the front page of Science. There's a magazine, Science.
It's called Science?
It's called Science.
Okay.
That is kind of features just small, interesting new developments. And someplace in 63 or 4, we had an article on which is the cover sheet was featured, some measurements we had made with the X-ray diffraction press. After the press was built, the X-ray press was built, or my way, I did most of the measurements while I was a student. We had students that I was working on. But we talked to Tracy a lot about it, but he was not really involved in the actual measurements. We did most of the things. Most of it was conceptual things that he talked about. Because, anyway, for years, 10 or 15 we kind of collaborated together, but he was kind of just the advisor. The students did. I directed graduate students in. Coming out of that X-ray work was an interesting little side issue that was kind of interesting. It turned out back in those days, no one really knew what the pressure was inside of these apparatus. Tracy designed and built, but there's other systems with getting very high pressures. In fact, there was another group of the National Bureau of Standards that developed a diamond cell, high pressure diamond cell, and was able to do an X-ray diffraction in it. And they started publishing about the same time we did. But anyway, nobody knew what the pressure inside these devices were. They knew they were getting high pressures, and they could compare with the lower pressures, they could compare with other devices, what they called the piston cylinder device. But when they got above about 30 or 40 kilobars, nobody knew what the pressures were. And I, with Dr. Daniel Decker in the physics department, conceived of the idea of using what we call a theoretical equation of state for sodium chloride, and using X-rays you can measure the distance between the atoms. From that you can calculate the volume, and so you can relate that to the pressure on a theoretical basis. And we made those measurements, and when we compared this with the theoretical equation state of sodium chloride, we told the high pressure world that they were off on pressure by 30 and 40%. I mean, they were over-exaggerated. In fact,
that's big.
Some of the devices, they were off a factor of two. Their pressures were only half of what they were thought they were.
Oh, okay.
Everybody was reporting very, very high pressures. And we published an article that everything up was just way too high. People didn't like that. The reason I tell you that one is that I don't know whether you want some interesting stories about Tracy, but this equation of state dated from, based on a theory by Daniel Decker in our department. Decker became kind of famous. I was back to the show what Tracy's personality was. I was back in a meeting in which they were discussing this discrepancy between what people have been reporting pressures and what we were saying the pressures were. And of course, first impression that everybody was saying that we were wrong. But anyway, we were at this meeting and there was a group of people just chatting, and Tracy happened to be there, and some young scientist that hadn't been in the field very long, didn't know very much, saw Tracy and said, "Oh, you're from BYU. Are you part of Decker's group?" Now, of course, Tracy was started all that. Tracy was known nationally as a national figure. And when he came here, I got involved, and then after I got involved, Decker got involved, so Decker was kind of out of things, but he, anyway. Tracy didn't say anything. He said, "Well, I kind of work by myself."
Do you remember what meeting that was?
I can't remember. We used to go to several meetings together.
Okay.
I can't remember which one that meeting that was. But it was anyway, well, it showed Tracy's humility that he didn't.
That's good.
Very humble guy.
Oh, that's great.
If you're interested in stories about him,
I would be.
That's an interesting one. But another I was impressed when we were building this X-ray press. We designed it, and he arranged it with a company back in Kansas City that was a machining, a very large company, well, not large company, 30 employees kind of company, but were precision machining of apparatus and things, and he arranged with them. To build and sell copies of our high pressure apparatus with the X-rays fractional. And they sold that to some Russian company for about $100,000 or so. And just royalties on that. Tracy had patents on the high pressure apparatus, and Tracy and I hold a joint patent on the X-ray diffraction apparatus.
Okay.
And all total that is about $100,000, so 10% of that's $10,000, so Tracy collected most of this, might have actually made $1,500, I think, anyway. But the interesting story is that I, after we made up drawings and sent them to this company, and they did all the machining. And after they had it built, why, they hired Tracy and I as consultants to come back and get the apparatus working, check it all out, and then they shipped it, sold it for us. Anyway, when we went back to check this out, we spent three or four or five days. And the last day, this company put on a big dinner for some employees. There was only 8 or 10 people. Tracy and I and the head of the company and a few people that was working with us. A big fancy dinner. I've never been to such a 7-course dinner kind of thing. Table in a fancy restaurant, back room, where they, anyway, just a really fancy dinner. I've never been to that kind of thing. Anyway, the interesting thing, when they start out with liquor, then they'd have salads, and then they'd have more liquor. They were bad. When it comes to Tracy to ask him what he wanted to drink, what can you drink? They want coffee. And he says, give me some orange juice. And the guy, the head man in the box there, says, well, to the waitress, says, bring some orange juice. He says, we don't have any oranges. Guy says, get it. Go to the grocery store. So I went to the grocery store, and he gave him the string, and he says, get the best orange juice I watched the oranges and squeezed the oranges out of them. They took one of the waitresses, sent her to a local grocery store, came back, they cut them and squeezed them. Fresh oranges. That's the best oranges I've ever. And brought in a big pitcher, but instead of between Tracy and I. Oh, everybody's drinking
those. Oh, that's good.
That is the best oranges I've ever had a drink of. With a broad big pitcher.
So what was this during the period that you guys were doing the army stuff? What years did you work with Tracy?
We probably about 15 years between 1960 and 75 or so.
Oh, okay.
And
so when would that have been when you went out to St. Louis and had that fun, that experience?
Yeah, well, this is Kansas.
Kansas City. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it wasn't Kansas City. This company had this machine shop.
Was this McCartney?
This is McCartney.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
Okay.
And McCartney was the guy that says, go out and get some orange juice. But another interesting story about McCartney. McCartney came came here to BYU and spent a few days one day. And I can't remember how they got in the discussion, but Tracy told them that he was going out on the welfare farm and pick cherries. That's what we had a welfare program. Anyway, the next morning, and says, how would you like to come with us? This was the night we were eating supper at a restaurant. He said, yeah, I'd like to do that. So the next morning we picked him up and took him out to the welfare farm with us. And Tracy and I, Tracy lives here in our ward. We took McCartney out to the welfare farm, and he was dressed in a suit. And he climbed ladders and picked cherries with us for a couple hours. Oh, Tracy, I'm a good missionary ever. I think he drank too much liquor to make a very good warm-up.
Oh,
anyway,
that's good. That's good.
Yeah. It was about 15 years that we the things that I got interested in high pressure got to be more pure science and less applied, and money was starting federal funding. Well, we got funding from the Army, total probably $350,000 over a period of 10 to 15 years. The first grant was for $105,000. And by the way, the inflation kind of thing, so that represents three or four times that.
Sure.
In today's money. So it was a fair amount of money for a period of 3 years. And then we had that renewed at the rate of about $30,000 a year for another 10 years or so. But research funding got a little harder than we... I don't know exactly what triggered us not getting additional funding.
Now that initial funding by the Army, that was that the high pressure data center
That was the X-ray. That was only X-ray diffraction studies. It was a special press designed so that you could get X-rays into it. Special press.
Oh.
And then the X-ray apparatus.
Oh, okay.
That went with it. It was all special design.
I see.
But Tracy was getting money from. He got a lot of money from DuPont Corporation. When he first came here. And they just gave him money to do high-pressure studies. But the things he really spent most of his time was chemistry. Looking at chemical changes, chemical reaction things, the things that would... chemical reaction would go on at high pressure that would not at our atmospheric pressure. And the work I did was looking at the crystal structures of materials while they were at high pressure. Not before and after.
Okay.
That's an interesting difference, is to make measurements while you are at pressure, rather than put chemicals in and go up to high pressures, then come back down and have a permanent transformation. The diamond is, of course, was a permanent transformation.
Yes, okay.
But most all the things I studied where when you reverse, brought back down pressure, there would be a reversal back to the original form. For example, sodium chloride salt, as well as many other materials that go through transformations at high pressures. There's an interest theoretically, but practically isn't. Tracy was much more practical than I was.
Oh, okay.
We were interested in fundamental. And of course, that's why he kept getting money and we didn't. High pressure research, yes.
Okay. So, I want to move on. Let's talk about just being in the ward with him. And I know you were the bishop after him.
I was a bishop just 5 years ago.
Oh, were you?
I was. Tracy was the oldest bishop they'd had in our ward for a long time.
Okay.
When he was bishop. And I think he was 65 or 60. I was 64 when I was called as bishop. And so I was older than he. I was an old man when I was called as bishop in 95. Tracy was back about 80 or so. He was only about 50.
He was
55, 57.
Yeah, he served from 1976.
I can tell you that.
1981. Yeah.
Just for interest.
Great.
I won't take for a minute. You don't have to use any of this information anyway. Boy, we had that picture thing.
Oh, that's good.
This is our present bishop. This is the bishop just before him.
I see you right here.
This is me.
No, just kidding. I was just kidding.
let's see how the bishop. This was the bishop in 1957 or so.
Okay, yeah. Bishop Colvin?
Bishop Colvin.
Oh, I see.
To 61. We moved into the ward just after he was released. This was Lori Free that was... Tracy was the counselor to Lori.
Okay.
Lori just died about a year ago, I guess.
Tracy was a counselor to
them after.
Okay.
Let's see, who was the next bishop?
67. Man.
Oh, yeah, Father Lori was.
He's not in here.
This was Elwood Peterson who died. In fact, that was his counselor.
Oh.
Anyway, he went through it. I think. See, when was Tracy? 76, 81. Anyway, there was 9 bishops that was all the ward still alive at that time.
Wow.
Since then, he's died.
Tracy's gone.
So there was 3 of those have died since then.
Huh.
That's an interesting picture. Nine bishops all.
So
one of the interesting stories, some people, well, I don't know. But Tracy was bishop. Even down their home, they have a little garden spot out in back that's only 10 feet by 20 or so. But Tracy bought a goat killer. Not a $300 goat killer. Must be. It is a really a high quality professional rotor tiller.
Okay.
Must have got $1,000 or so. Not to do his own little garden spot, but he and his bishop, he would go around to all of the widows in the ward. House to house. And during the spring, and rotor till, must have rotor till a dozen or 20 houses. Interesting. And I'm sure he bought that rotor thinking of doing that because he only had it a small little thing.
So did he do that for a couple of years?
Yeah, did for several years.
Well, that's neat. Thank you.
Hire our teenage boys to go out and work on his farm in Payson.
Oh.
And my son worked a few weeks, 1 year. I Rose did all his directing. Not on the farm, I Rose did all his.
Really?
That's one of the neat, I don't know what it's called, romantic story of how Tracy deferred to her so much. I mean, you'd think, oh, he's a famous scientist, like, he'd run the show. But in their home life, he just worshipped her, and she took charge of things in her home. I don't know. I saw that many times. Very well. I'll talk to Ida Rose a little.
So what was he like as a bishop? Because he couldn't defer to Ida Rose. For everything.
He's a good bishop. He's very I'm not quite sure what the word is. Willing to have other people have input. He was not an authoritarian bishop at all. He was anti-authoritarian. Willing to listen to other people.
I see.
I was not. During the time Tracy was bishop, I was a bishop on campus. I was a bishop on campus from fall of 81 79 till about 83.
Okay.
And 2 or 3 years, yeah, he was the 3 years I was over there, I was over as a bishop on campus from 78 to 81, and that was the last 3 years of his tenure. So I was really not intimately involved in any way in any of the Bishop's College and all that. See, I guess.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Worse than that. Yeah, no, I'm trying to put my memory back in. I guess all of the time that he was bishop, I was on the high council in a BYU stake for 2 years, and then 3 years as a bishop. And that was the time that Tracy was. Tracy was bishop. My memory's not very good. I was trying to think of who the bishop was before Tracy.
Before Tracy?
Before, because he's not that period.
Not on there, is he?
He's 75.
Oh, no, that's not him. Yeah.
See, Reese Hansen followed him in 81. But, my mind. I've got about Alzheimer's.
That's good.
Hey, you're not on there.
Hey, you. Hey.
Oh, yes. Okay. I was Ray Baer. Ray Baer did the vision before Tracy. And it was when Ray Baer authorized me to be called on campus. Okay, now I put it all together. Anyway, so the 5 years Tracy was bishop here, I was not actually in the ward.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So I don't have an awful lot of memories of knowing a few things in the neighborhood, but I was. Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's great. Well, if there's something this book should say about Tracy, what would you think it would be? You know, what kind of a person was he? And you've already given me some good stuff, and so if you don't have anything else, that's fine. But
I was always impressed with Tracy's humility in honesty. For example, he was just faithful. But being a scientist, there were things that I would say conflict, but was not understandable in the scientific sense. And I never bothered him. But he was very open about saying, "Well, I don't understand. There's certain things I don't understand, but it's all right. I still have a testimony of the gospel." And that was a feature that I admired in Tracy. I have the same feelings. There are a few things that I just don't understand, but I understand enough to live the gospel. Maybe that's all I needed, enough understanding. But things like evolution that I've heard, didn't bother him at all. Doesn't bother me, but at some time you have to reconcile or cope with the scientific approaches to things. And it doesn't bother you. But there's other things like that. I've always impressed him. He was just forthright about those kinds of things.
Okay.
He had testimony. The gospel was true. The Christ was the Christ. I don't have to have all the nitty things argued. That's really kind of the issue. You don't have to argue. But some people do. Some people get hung up on. And you don't have to worry about it. The other thing I was always impressed with Tracy is his willingness to serve. I mean, he would not pretend. Tracy had an interesting confidence, self-confidence. He had confidence that he could do things. And he would tackle new subjects. For example, when we started doing the X-ray diffraction, crystal structure analysis from X-ray work was not in his background. I mean, he had done none of that kind of, that's more a physics thing, area of science, whereas printing was chemistry. But he went and got some books, and he studied it, and he gave two or three talks. Some of the seminars I had at the university, but also he actually gave the faculty lecture. The university has a faculty lecture once a year to honor some professor who has done unique work. Tracy gave the faculty lecture, and he lectured on crystal structure, which he had no understanding of 2 years before. But he, it was a masterful lecture. This lecture was given to the faculty as a whole. Therefore it was general college level discussion. It wasn't a specialist, but it was. I was impressed with how. Because I knew everything he was talking about. That was my field.
Yeah.
But he went out, and even after we got involved in this area, my instigation, actually, but he went and studied and understood it. Out of the book. And he died several things that I know he did this. He would just go study on his own and he'd learn it. That was a great characteristic of Tracy. That permeated a lot of his life, his scientific life. I mean, another example, in designing high pressure apparatus, you have to know something about the strength of materials, how strong certain steels are, what kind of steels have higher strength. You put everything to this limit of high pressure. And you can learn that in college. But you design the build apparatus, which is unique in getting pressures high enough to make diamonds. Then he designed the tetrahedron press, and it was capable of making diamonds, getting these enormous pressures, pushing materials to his limit. He didn't learn any of that in college. He was a chemist in college.
That's funny. You're right, yeah.
And yet his great contributions to the field of science came out of material he studied on his own. So that's an interesting feature that needs to be said someplace. And it applied to religion as well as to science in some way. He was studying the gospel the same way. So that's an interesting little issue. That was one of the things that impressed me.
Great. Well, thanks so much.
Tracy was a great man. See, I wrote Pinky Tail, all research work I did at the university. I got funding because of the name of Tracy Hall. And after we got the money, most of the research that I did directly with students, of course, but independent. We could go talk to him about things a little, but he wasn't on the firing line in much of the research I did. He was on advising, and when we talk things over. But I was doing crystal structure analysis, but that all was made possible because of his notoriety, and he was able to draw money into a lot of money. He had a relationship with some of the chemistry faculty too, but I guess I worked. Tracy still liked to do his own independent things that he thought. He directed graduate students in chemistry. Himself, and he, that was chemistry research. He of course knew that was the reason he left General Electric and came before he is, because he wanted to do fundamental research. And people said, he wanted to make diamonds faster and faster, more and more.
Yeah, we're a big project, and
boy, that's a major project.
Okay, we want to do it right. You know, so.
Writing books are not easy.
Well, thank you very much.
I don't know if I can help you again.
Okay.
Yeah, not dawned on me until just sitting here, but while he was bishop, I was not in the war. That's interesting. I didn't know about that.
Yep.
One of the highest priest group leadership. I'm one of the counselors in the high priest group. And I asked Tracy to say in an opening prayer, preach to me. And by this time, his mind is pretty well gone. But I sat in there, and he got up and said a beautiful prayer. Couldn't find his chair. Couldn't find where he. No, nowhere to go back to the city.
Oh, that's precious.
We were over just because of friendship, went over to visit Ida Rose. It turned out just 3 days before she died. And she was in her bedroom, in bed, of course. And you don't want to record this.
I don't want to.
You don't.